Honey, here's a different whole room. There's a pool around. Oh. And I could see lots of the people around. There's my mother, and my father, and my brother who died many years before. And Mary. She was a friend. One of my few friends that had died only a few weeks. She was all alone. And I thought I was having a dream about my people. She didn't have money. She came. And she put her arms around me. And she kissed me on the face. And it was warm and real. And when I came, she kissed me too. And I took my hand. And the next thing I know, it was as if I was floating through the window. And then everything went back. I cannot remember a thing until I woke up. And I was in the bed, in a very nice room, with rafters and beams and things, like an old house. It was cozy and friendly, and the sun, as I thought, was shining through the window. And there was my mother. But she did not look the same as when I saw her in a dream, as I thought. She looked young. As I'd seen her in the pictures that used to hang in my bedroom when she was nine, many years before. And she had a white dress, and she had a black wool ribbon in her hair. It's just like I'd seen her in early pictures when I was very young. She used to have a little collection of old photos that mother kept in the thing. It was just as if I'd seen her as she was then. She said to me that I was all right and that I had nothing to worry about and I was not going back. And I thought this was just a dream. And then she said, no, it's not a dream, it's real. You're alive now. You're not to worry about anything. And she said, soon, when you're able to recover over these things that you go out and you meet all sorts of people that you used to know when you were a wee boy, you know, when you were young. I could not quite see and understand, and I could not realize that speech that I'm doing. It was that beautiful dream. And there was a dog come to my bed, and this really gave me a fright in a way. Not that I was afraid of dogs, I was fond of animals, but this was the dog that we had many years ago, that my father adored, and that was killed by a cat many years ago, when I was school, in my 20s, I suppose. And this dog we called it Nipper. And you know, to see Nipper jump on his bed, scuffling me up, I just couldn't realize. And the mother said, of course, and animals here too. But I thought, well, this is, you know, I just couldn't understand that if you were dead, if my mother said, that there'd be animals too. And she said, oh, that's nothing. She said, out in the yard. She said, you'll see a lot of other animals too. I just couldn't say to this soul, I couldn't be, you know, when you've been brought up as I was, there was a vicious rule of life, you know. You didn't automatically begin to think of animals being in heaven. And then again, I thought this was too natural to be heaven. I thought it would be quite different, and that it would all be, you know, like one sees in pictures and religious books, you know, with angels and wings and all sorts of, you know. This didn't seem right. I thought it must be a dream or that I'd be caught. But no, I don't know how long I must have been in this bed, but I know that I felt these things. I felt as if I was light of air. And I was curious about myself, and I said I'd like to see myself in the mirror. And my mother asked me, and she said, we don't have mirrors here. Mirrors are not necessary. You can see yourself when you know yourself. You don't have to look into a mirror to see how you look or how you are. I didn't understand this at all, but all I know that I felt the different effect below, and my body seemed light, and I just felt as if I could get up and dance around the room. But my mother said, no, not for a moment. She just went to me while I was with you. The next thing I must have dozed off, at least I thought that's what I did, but it wasn't really quite dozing off. The next thing I know, I was walking down what appeared to be a lane, you know, and it was beautiful little trees either side and beautiful fields. And I could see cattle. And there were all sorts of animals that I'd seen in picture books. And that years ago, my mother had, when she was there, many years ago, and my father was alive, we'd gone to Edinburgh. And I remember we went to a place where there were animals. And it was very interesting to see all the different animals there. I just couldn't understand, you know, they were beautiful creatures. And they were wandering around. And no one felt afraid. I didn't feel afraid. I don't know when they were bad in the streets and they were whistling and singing. And there was music, and I can only say it sounded like music to me, but there was nothing that I remembered in music, but I was very musical myself, though I never had the opportunity to study music, but I always liked music. And I could hear music and sounds, which were, well, it was a strange thing. It was as if there was a sound of nature, and there was also an animal in the bird. And it was all so wonderful. We could all bring it together. And I remember walking and walking on this road. And somehow, new feeling of tiredness. And I came to the end of what I suppose was the room. And it was a beautiful white house. Beautiful house. All white. And it wasn't painted white. The first thing that struck me was that although I could see the house was beautifully kept, but it wasn't painted. It had a sort of rust on the back, like leather of pearl, and yet it was chiefly white, and yet there was soft shades of other pastel colors. It was as if it was all aglow. And as I came to this house, a man came out of the door, and my heart gave a jump, but if I had a heart, but I just felt as if, oh, I can't believe it. But it was a young man that I was very fond of, who I turned down. But it wasn't because I didn't love him, it was because I realized that I couldn't marry him, because it meant that I had to give up my parents, who were getting old and in need of care and attention, and I didn't feel that it was right to put a burden upon a man or someone else's parents, no matter how fond he was of me. And I turned him down, and he never got married. And he moved away from the district soon afterwards, and I lost touch with him for many years. And he came out of his house, and he looked as if he looked all many years before he cut it, tall and dark. And in those days, he had a mustache, and I think that I'd go to see how he was one, but he didn't look like a mustache anymore. but I could recognize him quite clearly in spite of that. But he came rushing down the front of the garden's house and met me. And he put his arms around me and, oh, he made such a fuss of me and that shoe was ruined, you know. And I felt, oh, it is for the first time that I was wanted. I suppose in a way I shouldn't have seen that because I'm very much wanted by my parents and I've been following my parents and they were very good parents to me. So I don't know, but it is a different feeling, a kind of feeling that. And he said, oh, at last you've come to me. And he said, this time you look at me, darling. And I did not know what to say to him. And then all of a sudden it seemed as if in the garden, all the flowers began to blossom. But I don't know how to explain it without telling you. But all the flowers suddenly seemed to grow. And it was as if the garden came alive. And there were all kinds of flowers there. Flowers that I remember from the earth and flowers I'd never seen before. And there was one clump of huge, tall, orange flowers like poppies. But they seemed to go on and on and on. And I thought, if they don't stop growing, they're going to be taller than the house. I thought how stupid this is, I'm so happy he's with Rosita, you know, and yet all the time, in spite of all my happiness and meeting him and feeling at ease and feeling happy, I could see the growth of puppies, as I call them, growing taller and taller until they became like huge trees. And then all of a sudden, the petals began to open. And they began to, like, droop. When I see that, I don't mean to say that they were dying, but it's as if they opened up and the petals folded down. And made like a kind of umbrella. And there were all these beautiful orange flowers like umbrellas. And we went and we stood. At least I think we stood underneath and it was as if through the petals of these enormous orange flowers was a beautiful light and it seemed to have warmth and seemed to have a glow and he was smiling like this was like, yeah, I've never seen such beautiful flowers and I've never seen such beautiful colors and I've never seen flowers so tall and he said, ah, he said, until you came, although I planted many seeds in my thoughts, that one day I'd have a beautiful garden, it wasn't until you came, it was then that I knew that I'd have a garden which I could be proud of. And he said, these poppies, as you call them, is my love. It has been growing all the years. I've been watching over you. And he said, just symbolic of us in a way. And he said, I love together. And now we can be free. He said, come into the house. Soon. And again, I can't see if I walk or if I float it. But it is as if my feet never touched the ground. And I remember going into the house. And it was just as I always wished and dreamed. It was not a big house, but it was bigger than anything I'd been used to. And everything seemed to be perfect. Just as I would always wanted to have had myself and the furniture, everything. And it was solid and real. And there were such pretty colors. Such a wonderful feeling of home. And he said, now let's get this new together. And now he says he can take up a lot of time. I never felt so happy. And when I thought about my mama and my father, and he said, that's all right. He said, you've finished. Now you have your own life and to be shared with me. But we will keep in touch and we will go and see him whenever we wish. And he can come and see us too, since we should have so much to learn. And all of a sudden in the corner of the room, I see the same as something I had not seen before. I saw a piano. I don't know why I never saw this at first, but because I always wanted to be a musician. I always wanted to be able to play. I always loved music very much indeed. And he had been a music teacher. And I did not realize, I suppose it should have struck me, that he would naturally still be interested in music, and that he would, if possible, have a piano. So he said, now, he says, you can have one of your heart's desires, you can become musical, and I will teach you, and you can learn. And I was so happy and so thrilled. It was just as if my youth had come back to me, and all the opportunities that I desired, and all the things that have mattered most to me were mine. I know it sounds so crazy, and he sat at the piano and he screamed like an angel. All the beautiful music that I used to love so much, and the short time that I knew him, he used to play in the club, and he used to play sometimes in the meetings that used to be held in the socials in the village, you know. And he was playing all the things that I'd loved so much, you know. And not only those things, but other things too. And it was as if through him, I was almost, you might say, mesmerized into being able to play myself. Because I don't remember, in a sense, having lost him. Of course, I must have had him, but it was as if when I sat down later at the piano and he stood beside me, and with my fingers sort of automatically went to the right note. And I know now that it was him working through me in a strange way, mentally helping me and helping my stumbling fingers, you know. And I know this sounds so extraordinary. Did we go sometimes to what you would call concerts, and you hear the great people, which makes me, he said, feel so significant. But it gives me hope that I might eventually one day be able to play beautifully. And I was so close to him, but I thought, well, how stupid. And I said, but you play beautifully. You have a wonderful touch, you know. And he said, no, no, no. You haven't heard what I have heard. And I said, well, I'm quite happy with you and the way you sing. He said, well, you must come with me. And we will go to concert. And eventually he took me to one place in particular, which was in a, I suppose you'd call it a town, because there were all sorts of houses and large buildings where people were living. And there was a huge place with many steps. And when I first looked at all those steps, I thought, my, my, what a footsteps. I got too tired climbing up all those steps. And the funny thing was that I didn't feel tired at all. I didn't feel as if I'd even climbed steps. But nevertheless, we went into this great place. And it was so vast. And it must have been thousands of people. And there, on a platform, was a beautiful piano. The most beautiful thing that I've ever seen in my life. It was enormous, much bigger than any other piano I'd ever seen or heard of, and I should imagine it had three tiers of keys. It was a tremendous scene, and very, very beautiful. And since it was made of mother of pearl, it had the most beautiful colors and things. And then a beautiful creature came on. He was tall and nice looking, and his hair was long, and he had fine features, and he sat down, and he started to play. But I've never heard anything like it. The funny thing is that it has seemed as if you were playing to the keyboard fingers at the same time, and yet there was only the one pair of hands. And how, I don't know, how the other keyboards were played. I did not see his hands go to the top two keyboards, only the lower, but I could see the succession of notes on the other keyboard, and I can only assume in some way they were all connected up together. I may be wrong, but it was extraordinary. The sound, it was as if you were carried away by it, and as if you were embedded by it, and as if you lost all sense of space and time and everything, and as if you were in a kind of way with the music and passive music, and you lost sight of the hall and the people, and even the pianist after a time. It was as if you were transported in a most strange way, as if you were part of the music, and as if it was talking to you, and helping you to understand. It was an extraordinary experience. None of us I knew what my friend had said and meant, when he said the difference and his pain. Of course, a great experience for me, but as I said to my friend, I quite appreciate, and it was a wonderful experience, but I still like the way you say just as much. And I realized as I stood there, I meant it. At the same time, looking back, I knew that it was a bond between us, but I realized that this other experience was something beyond ordinary music. And I now, of course, know that all sorts of extraordinary things do happen here, and that there are many aspects, I think, to say, of experience which one couldn't begin to explain. But I'm very happy now that I must say that I had some fantastic experiences which I would like to retain from time to time, if it's permitted, you know. Because I think it might be interesting for other people. And as far as people dying, no one need worry about it at all. It's the most wonderful experience. And, of course, the first is the shock. But you soon get over that. And if you know about it beforehand, you know what to expect, which is a great help. Why didn't you see? And a lot of people don't. And they don't realize that they're dead or that. Takes them a little while to understand, you see.
What are you wearing now,